You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. This week, we hear the story of Unbound, a London-based startup that's revolutionizing the publishing world. Unbound takes power away from the traditional publishers and puts it into the hands of the readers themselves, giving authors the tools to pitch, crowdfund, and launch their own books. The company was founded by three friends. This week, Dan Kieran, one of the founders and the current CEO, shares the Unbound story.
I am a double university dropout, which is part of the reason why I accidentally started a business. The first time I went was to do Russian, and that lasted about 3 weeks. And the second time I went to do film studies. But to be honest, I never intended to do that degree. I just used it as a way to get out of my hometown and to move to London. University didn't really work out for me. The first time I quit university, I went and basically did loads of terrible, terrible jobs, which I used in a book I did much later called Crap Jobs, about the worst jobs I'd ever had. The absolute worst one was weed sprayer. So I used to climb motorway embankments dressed up like a Ghostbuster with a 20-litre tank of weed killer on my back and had to spray around the little trees that they were trying to grow there. It was an exercise in humility. Actually, at the time, it was quite a formative experience because I had dropped out of university, life wasn't going that great, and I ended up in the kind of rubbish jobs that I thought I was too good for. And it teaches you something, I guess. But I did it for about a year, and then I went to university the second time. But to be honest, I only went because I wanted to work for free in a magazine or a record company or something. I figured that I didn't want to have a degree, I wanted to work for free. Because I thought by the time everyone comes out of university, I'll have already been there for 3 years. So I started working at the Idler magazine, doing work experience. So the Idler is it's extraordinary, actually. It's had three incarnations. So originally Samuel Johnson started it in 1756, I think, because he wrote famously, "Every man is or hopes to be an idler." And then Jerome K. Jerome bought it back in the 1880s. And it was very successful. And then Tom Hodgkinson, who is my friend and I guess one of my mentors, I suppose, he started it with his friend Gavin Freshpenny, someone else who I owe a huge amount to. And I basically worked for them on the magazine. And it's basically argues that you shouldn't be judged by your career. Life isn't about working, it's about thinking. There were loads of great ideas in it, like things like, you know, societies don't like idle populations, because if you're idle, you're not doing anything. But of course, you are doing something and you're thinking. So we were always had a different perspective on the world. And growing up in a world obsessed with overwork and overconsumption, it was a real totemic magazine, and it had amazing contributors from all kinds of different backgrounds. So yeah, it was enormous fun, bit of a haze those years, but it was great fun. Well, I was really, really bad at writing then. I knew I wanted to write, there was something I always wanted to do, but I had no kind of aptitude to it. But working at the Idler, I kind of absorbed it, I guess, from around other people. And so, I mean, I'd always been writing just very, very badly. And it taught me the craft. I mean, Tom is a lovely guy, but the first time I used to send him articles, he would just openly laugh in my face about how terrible they were. So I kind of would go back and try again and try again. But the first time I had anything in print, which was a review for Hello Nasty by the Beastie Boys, 50-word review, and I actually found it the other day. Nothing will ever make me feel as good as seeing my name in print the first time in the Idler. It was a massive moment, and I thought writing was above me. But over the years, I kind of got closer to it, I guess. Unbound kind of arrived from... I basically spent 10 years writing books, had an amazing time. And I would come up with an idea, like I drove across England in a 1957 electric milk float for a book called Three Men in a Float. So you have an idea like that, and then a publisher would either say yes or no, and if they like it, they give you some money, and you go and do it. And I'd sort of had, so I had ideas for books and got given advances for quite a long time, for 10 years. And then the crash of 2008 happened, and the rapacious nature of Amazon became apparent to anyone in publishing. And basically, publishers just stopped paying advances. So for one, the book before my last one, I got an advance of £30,000. The next one I tried to do, I was offered £3,000. And that wasn't because my sales had differed that much. It was just that the market had changed. Publishers were becoming much more risk-averse. They were trying to publish things that were like things that were successful the year before. Genre fiction, TV tie-ins. John, who I work with at Unbound, one of my co-founders, He says publishing's like agribusiness. They have five crops that they plant. And if you're not one of those crops, you're less interesting to them. So I basically lost my livelihood overnight. And because I don't have a degree, because I'm a double university dropout, I ended up doing the same kind of crappy jobs that I had done like 10 years before when I was, or 20 years before when I was trying to become a writer. And so I was clearing out the rat-infested basement of an accountant's in Bognor Regis, which is a town I had slagged off in the book Crap Towns I did, which was a huge hit. So there was, I guess, justice in that somewhere. I went on my lunch hour and I remember looking out to sea and thinking that I'd sold about 300,000 copies of my books throughout the world by that stage. But I didn't have the name and address of a single person that had ever bought one. And I realised I'd used all these intermediaries, but I was nowhere near my actual readers. I didn't know who they were. And I'd use bookshops and news outlets, fighting to get on Radio 4 to promote my new book. You had to use all these intermediaries to access the reader. And I just thought, someone's got to bring the authors and readers together. So I thought, well, I'll do a video about this book I'm going to write. And then if enough people give me money, I'll write it. And I was talking to John and Justin, my two writer friends, and they were like, well, that's a brilliant idea, but not you. It shouldn't just be you that does it. Every writer should do that. So we built a platform that does that, essentially. It's a platform where authors pitch their ideas and readers, if they like them, put enough money in. Then the book is, we make the book, and then we publish it like any other publisher. So you get sent a high-spec edition if you pledged, and then the book subsequently comes out in bookshops. We sell rights. So we do everything a publisher does, but the beginning bit is very, very different. This was one of the big surprises of my life, I suppose. Like, I never aspired to be an entrepreneur. When I was growing up, entrepreneurs were kind of, well, a bit like now, overweight white guys on yachts, they can't sail. I didn't want to be that. I had no interest in doing that. So being an entrepreneur was not on my radar, really. So I sort of fell into it by accident and turned out I was quite good at it. And so we started to raise money, and I believe passionately in what we do. You know, I think books are the most successful delivery mechanism for ideas in human history. So the way they come to be is important. And I think readers should be part of the process of deciding what gets published. You know, so that's the flag I'm running behind, you know, like I've got something I really care about. And so it turns out that is kind of what being an entrepreneur is, which I hadn't realized before. So we raised 50 grand over breakfast from a high net worth individual, a great guy called Paul Birch, who's one of the Bebo brothers, anyone old enough to remember Bebo. And he was fascinated in crowdfunding. And, you know, John, one of my co-founders, he's a big name in publishing. He was the first marketing director of Waterstones, and he's published lots of books himself. And I'd built a website which had won awards, so I had the kind of tech bit. And Justin, our co-founder, is brilliantly well connected and is a great writer in his own right, been on television a lot and works in the movies. So between the three of us, we had quite a lot of interesting things covered. And it was a famous meeting in a pub where we were talking about it, and Justin was like, yeah, we've really got to do this, guys. We can't just be like authors moaning in the pub. You know, we actually have to make this happen. And we were like, yeah, no, you're right, we're going to have to do it. Anyway, get the next round in. And then he was like, no, we really do have to do it. And we were like, I know, man, yeah, we're going to do it. He said, no, we really have to do it. And we're like, what? Yeah, okay, we have to do it. He said, no, Terry Jones, who was one of his friends from Monty Python, he's got a book for us. We really have to do it because I've got us our first book. And when your first book is by a python, you know you're kind of, you got to do it, right? You can't just moan about it. You got to actually do it. And so we then spent a couple of years working very, very hard to try and make this a real thing. And ever since then, we've been, I guess, on that journey. Well, it's been an extraordinary process. I mean, you get the title CEO way before you are one. And it's kind of like a convenient fiction that everyone believes in, but doesn't believe in. And that's the journey you go on, I guess. And I've changed an extraordinary amount in the last 6 years. And the way I look at it is that, I didn't realize this, but the thing I actually find most fascinating about running a company is that it's the greatest self-improvement exercise you can ever go on. Because every flaw or weakness you have is kind of put under a microscope. So I do a lot of looking inside and outside to understand why I respond to things in the way that I do. You know, you have to be a Zen master. You can't argue. You know, you can't shout and rant and rage. You've got to be in control of yourself all the time. And, you know, it's very challenging having 40 members of staff. because you, especially in a business like ours, where everyone's kind of creative and really interesting and doing things their own, they have their own stuff going on as well as work. So their demands of work are very different. And also because I used to work for The Idler and I used to campaign against evils of bosses and horrible working environments, I actually have a chance to do something about that now. And that's really intriguing. I always call it my, I have like an inner 18th century mill owner that I'm always trying to silence, because I grew up in a culture where work is suffering and suffering is virtue and I own your time and, you know, it's all quite adversarial. And I don't want to have a working environment like that. And coincidentally, you get better results if you don't have a working environment like that. So yeah, it's a huge, huge challenge and it's incredibly exciting and stressful and all those things. But yeah, I wouldn't not do it now. It's really interesting. And I tell everyone I know, start a company. Like, it's really extraordinary what you learn and the opportunities it can give you. It's tough, but it's amazing at the same time.
Dan Kieran, co-founder and CEO of Unbound. Eureka's back again next Friday. But before then, tune into The Entrepreneurs on Wednesday. This episode was edited by Antonio Fernandez. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.